So I also want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr and Reverend Joe Armstrong for the privilege to be able to share God's word with you today. What I'm going to share on this afternoon is that the righteous are bold as a lion. That's what I'm talking about. It sucks to be afraid. Can I get a well? Oh, no, you like to be afraid? Does anyone like to be afraid? I stopped going to scary movies because I was too scared. Just, I didn't want the imagery of that. But we don't have to be afraid in this life. If it was up to the adversary, he'd have us terrified every second of every day of our lives, including while we're sleeping. But as sons and daughters of God, we should be bold in this life. We should be confident in this life, secure in this life, and careless in this life. So turn to Proverbs chapter 28. So this is one of the great verses in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, that I really love. This verse has helped me in my life over many, many, many years, where I would just stay my mind on part B. It says in Proverbs 28, verse 1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Are you bold as a lion? You have every right to be, as a son or daughter of God, because you're righteous now. It says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth." The wicked, they're so scared and there's no one even there. There's no one even there. And they're so afraid, they just jet. They flee. They're out of there. For no freaking reason, because there's no one there. You know, at any age, there are challenges to not be afraid. At age 2, one of my daughters, I'm not going to mention any names because, you know, one of my daughters was afraid of my neighbor's lawnmower. She had lawnmower-phobia. And there's a phobia for everything out there today. And, you know, at age 5, some kids all of a sudden become scared of the dark. And then still at age like 20 and 30, some people are scared of the dark. And that has a name. It's called nyctophobia. Being afraid of rejection or, you know, in relationships or a job interview or something like that, many, many people are afraid of rejection. There's fear of public speaking, which is called glossophobia, which I had in a terrible way, where if it was up to the adversary, I never would be talking in front of any more than like 2 people ever. But because of this verse, it helped me to get over that, where I could share God's word with a group of people like this, and truly, I'm not afraid. And that's awesome. Then there's fear of failure. This is kakorophobia. These names. I don't know how they came up with this one. Kakorophobia. Fear of failure. Go figure. Then you have fear of commitment. Commitment phobia. There's fear of water, which maybe it's fear of drowning or something like this. Aquaphobia. There's fear of shadows. Psyophobia. There's fear of flowers that has an official name. Anthrophobia. Then there's fear of clowns. Coulrophobia. I'm not going to say any names again, but some people need to be delivered. Then there's fear of long words. I'm going to read you the name of that fear. And it has 36 letters. Hypo, podo, monstro, sequip, adelia, iophobia. Just the name alone is terrifying, especially if you have it. And then just when you think there's no more phobias, the newest phobia is nomophobia. Fear of no mobile phone. I kid you not, this is real. Nomophobia. The only one I made up was lawnmophobia. But the rest, and there's so many others. The point is that in the world, people are afraid of everything. Just everything. But let the world have their fear. Let them have it. We do not have to buy into any of them at all. Look at Psalm 34. You keep your finger here or bookmark here. We'll come back to this verse. Psalm 34. Verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from one of my fears.
No.
What's it say?
All.
All. This takes care of any fear that man wants to name. All of them in one verse. This is all of them, all without exception. You can't tack out any of them. This covers all of them. We go to God and we get delivered from fear. Back to Proverbs 28:1. I'd like to read this verse to you. From this book right here, the Word, the Bible, from 26 translations. I'm not going to read 26 verses. But what this does is it sums up the essence of any differences only from 26 different translations. So it's just a handful here for this verse. Proverbs 28:1. It says here, all right, the King James is, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as the young lion. The wicked flee when there is no one pursuing, but the righteous are as fearless as a young lion. The lawless fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous, like a lion, are confident. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are secure as the young lion. The evil man goes running away when no man is after him, but the upright are without fear like the lion. Isn't that cool? In this verse, the wicked, it means criminal or guilty one. It's one guilty of crime, hostile to God, guilty of sin against God or man. And really, you know, this involves guilt. You don't have to be convicted in a court of law and in jail to be wicked here, the way this is talking about it. For example, my beautiful wife's uncle, Benny, he's Italian, like super Italian. That comes along with all the history of the Italian guilt and everything. And last weekend, we were hanging out with some family, and we got to talking about the Word, and he believes that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that God got him up from the dead, and that Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the world, but he has no idea if he's going to heaven or not. He has no clue if he's actually going. So we shared the word of God more perfectly with him. We told him that Jesus Christ did in fact pay for all the sins of the world. So that includes you. So you're going. And he could not wrap his mind around it. I told him he was righteous. I grabbed him by his leather collars and I shook him. I literally took him and shook him. And I said, you're, because he kept talking and about the guilt. I had to shut him up, so I grabbed him and I shook him. I said, you're going to heaven. Now you know. Now you know. You're going. And then he refused to believe that he could be righteous. And I just kissed him on the cheek and told him I loved him. But when we refuse to accept what God has done for us, we frustrate the grace of God. We cannot claim our righteousness, and we end up wicked and guilty and fearful. That's when we don't claim it. When we don't just simply believe what God has made available to us. When we don't simply accept what he's done for us. It's like having a really good father that did so many wonderful things for his children. We just accept it. We don't think we have a bad God who didn't do wonderful things for us. We just accept God's goodness and how awesome he is and how beautiful he is that he made this life available to us the way he did according to his word. Not the way the adversary wants us to perceive life, but the way God wants us to perceive life. He's a good God, and he gave us incredible things to believe and to accept that we're righteous. In this verse, the wicked flee. That's kind of obvious. It means to escape or to take flight, to depart, to disappear, like you're gone. You ever flee from someplace? You're just gone. And I know I made a big deal already. When no man pursueth, nobody's there. Nobody's chasing you. Nobody's after you. No one is following. No one is harassing you. No one is chasing you. And the wicked, they run away for no reason, because it's a lie. Whatever's making them want to run away, it's a lie. And so many times, fears that we have are not found in any kind of reality. It's just some built-up thing that's not really there. So we didn't even have to be scared in the first place. It's a waste of time and energy to be fearful in this life. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous. The righteous here is the just, the lawful, the righteous as justified and vindicated by God. It's the same word you'd use for Noah. It's the first usage of it was for Noah. You don't have to turn there. Genesis 6:9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was just. And the just is that same word, righteous, in this verse. He was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. See? This verse, Proverbs 28:1, could be, the guilty flee when no man pursueth, but the just are bold as a lion. And of course, if anyone believes Romans 10:9 and 10, got to go there because I want to emphasize something here. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. It says here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And this topic of righteousness is just so gorgeous to me. It's just so, what man could have thought this up? That once you're born again, you believe unto righteousness. And to me, if I was ever teaching a college course on being a believer, it would be in the first class, we would usually call it like Bible 101 or something. that you're righteous. Right off the bat. You're born again, you're righteous. It's like God opened up the floodgates. This huge dam that's up. And then you get born again and it just opens and the floodgates come out. And part of that is that we're righteous. And here, the word unto, where you believe, unto righteousness. Righteousness is the God-given ability to stand before him, to stand right in God's presence, eye to eye, where you stand before him without any sense of guilt or sin or shortcoming. Can you picture yourself doing that? Being able to look God right in the eye and not feel any shame, any guilt, any shortcoming? To be self-conscious about anything that you've ever done or thought about doing or anything like that? Because that's what righteous means, where you wouldn't. Where you understood that God took care of that part. It's already taken care of. All we need to do is accept what he's done as a good God, as a loving father that took care of business for us so that we could just enjoy being in his presence without feeling bad. You know, what pleases God?
Believing.
It's impossible to please him without it. So we believe that we're righteous. It says here, believe in a Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The word unto is the word into or to. And I thought, okay, let's look up a verse where this word is used so we could see how, you know, what we got. Matthew 2:11. Matthew 2:11. A. First part of the verse. And when they were come into the house, there it is, the word into. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. So they just went to the house and they were come into the house. And it's for us, we just believe into righteousness. We just walk right into the house of righteousness. We believe that we're righteousness. We're righteous. We just walk right in. We're righteous. God-given ability to stand before him without any sense of sin, guilt, or shortcoming. That's our right. Bless you. You've got God in Christ in you. Albert covered that. Now, Christ never sinned, did he?
No.
And he's in you. So what does that make you? Righteous. That's it. You got to let the old man stay dead and put on the new. God made us new. God made us righteous in this life. Look at Romans 3. Romans 3:22-26. This is just awesome. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the righteousness of God. It's by believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what?
Believe.
For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What makes your sin so special that it's more special than someone else's, so you have the right to not be righteous? Everyone's fallen short. Our sin's not special. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace. We didn't have to earn it. It's by believing through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Payment in full through believing in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, that this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We are just, we are righteous because of what God set up and accomplished in and through his son Jesus Christ. We're righteous. We don't have to try to assemble that process for ourselves. We do not. We simply walk right into it with believing. We just believe unto righteousness. We're righteous. It's the state that we're in. We just believe it. Now, Romans 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was delivered for whose offenses? For ours. That's why God took care of this whole thing. And Jesus Christ, our brother, by the freedom of his will, he went through with it all. And it's done. It's a done deal. We do not have to open up the box and rewire it and try to make it better. We cannot. We cannot. I used to do that with every electronic piece of equipment I ever had when I was younger. I broke so many. Man, I have so many dead electronics because I broke them. We don't need to do that with the word and with what God has made available for us. We just enjoy it. Albert mentioned justification here, raised again for our justification. I don't know where he came up with a ghetto definition of just as if we never sin, but man, that's the easiest thing for me to remember because it's just and then just as if we never sinned. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever forget that, you know. Continue in the next chapter, 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're at peace with God because of this. We're right with him. He's not mad at us. He doesn't think like we do. When we cross him in any way, he's not going to have the same reaction that we do when people cross us sometimes. His thoughts are not man's thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, you know. How righteous is God? He's pretty righteous. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, you and I, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, the righteousness of God, can there be any more righteous than God? That's the top. That's the creme de la creme. That's the top dog. That there's nothing beyond that. There's no more righteousness. There's no greater thing that we could ever that can ever enter our brain cells that's better than that. We're as righteous as God. It's God's righteousness. Look, we've got God in Christ in us, don't we? God in Christ in us. Christ never blew it. God is God. It's God in Christ in us. What does that make us? Righteous. We sit here as righteous as God. You're not some dim version of righteousness or some bad, messed up version of it. There is none. We're as righteous as God. And we need to be the kind of believers that actually believe that. I hope I don't have to shake any of you by your collars to get you to believe it. Just accept it. Accept what your good God, your Father, the good Father that we have set up for us. Accept it that we're righteous. Because then after that, all that comes after that is incredible greatness in this life. When you're pressured and confronted with a situation where you could be afraid, you could remember who you are and not be afraid, and then go in and be the one to handle it better than anyone else. When you're in a situation at work and you're given responsibility that's pressure and hard, you could be the one to do it without fear and do an excellent job. Because maybe some other guy was going to crap his pants. They're so afraid to do it, they're going to mess it up. But you don't crap your pants because you're righteous. We can't be afraid to do stuff. We should be the ones to live this life without fear, to just push ourselves to do things that we've maybe never even done before because we might be afraid. But you're the ones to do anything that God wants you to do. And God has enabled us to do incredible things in this life. He has equipped us to be the ones to have the answers in this life for people. We can be extremely bold in this life. And I'm not talking about obnoxiously over loud and rude and all that. I'm talking about being confident. Because you can do anything in this life because God strengthens you according to his word. So look here at, where were we? 2 Corinthians? Yeah. Back to Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The word bold, it means to trust, to have confidence, to be secure, to feel safe, and to be careless. What's real interesting is that this particular word is mostly translated trust. It's translated like over 100 times trust. And it's only translated one time as bold. But it kind of sounds cool as bold in this verse. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. What a picture that is. The righteous are bold as a lion. You know that's a figure of speech. It's a simile. It's a comparison with two things, with the word like or as. And we know that God in his word uses figures of speech to do what? To emphasize something, to give us a mind picture, to blaze it in our mind. And that's why this verse, I love this verse because that's the impression it gave me. It etched something in my mind. And I had this mind picture that the righteous are bold as a lion. Okay? So I wanted to read a few other verses where this very same word is used. The word for bold. Okay? Proverbs 3, a very familiar verse to a lot of you. Proverbs chapter 3, and in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with thine heart But?
All in heart.
Thank you. That's why we're not like Catholics who don't bring the Bible to fellowship. We actually read the verses and we see what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, your whole heart. You don't keep a part back for yourself to trust in yourself. It's all of it, all your heart. You don't compartmentalize and only trust God in certain areas of your life where you're so bold and so confident and you're so wonderful in this part, but in this part, no, that's your little section you keep back. All of it, we trust God with all of our heart. Just give it up, all of it. It's safer in his hands anyway. Proverbs 11:28. We'll go in order here. It says, he that trusteth in his riches shall what? Fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. We do not want to trust, put the kind of trust that we should put in God, in riches or in physical junk, because it's going to fail. But God is not going to fail. Proverbs 16:20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, what?
Happy
is he. That's the same word, trusteth, as bold. You're going to be happy if you trust in the Lord. Why wouldn't you be? You're not going to be worried. You're not going to be fearful. You're not going to be crapping yourself. You're going to just be happy because you trust in the Lord. Man, it's God has made a way for us to be in this life. Believer 101, you're righteous, and everything that comes after that, it sets it all in order for us. You're righteous. You could be bold as a lion. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat.
Yeah,
yeah baby. Trust. Same word, put it this trust in the Lord. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare or a trap, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what?
Safer.
You're safer anyway when you put your trust in the Lord. You're safe. You're in good hands with Allstate. No way. I'm in good hands with God. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He will also become my salvation. There it is. That's the confession we should make in our heart, that God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You make a deliberate decision to trust in him. This is no passive thing that maybe if I feel like it, I don't know. You push yourself to trust in him. The adversary's pulling you the other way. All the time, trying to get us to be afraid of our own shadow, trying to get us to run when there's nothing even there to be afraid of. We push ourselves to trust in God. We tell ourselves. It's a confession we make in our heart. You should speak the word more to yourself than anybody else. You remind yourself of God's word, and you trust in him. 26:3, Isaiah 26:3, another very familiar verse to a lot of you. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he what?
Trusteth
in thee. There it is, trusteth. Same word as bold in that other verse. Perfect peace, because you stay your mind on him. You're thinking about God and trusting him. So an immediate promise that comes with that is peace. We don't have to be all riled up and shook up in this life and confused and think about the same thought over and over and over again, because we're so fearful and wound up and not peaceful. But when we stay our mind on God instead of the problem, then what's there for us? Promise from God. Peace. 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 God is much smarter at all of this stuff than we are. All we need to do is let him lead, and we follow. We imitate him. We follow him. We believe him. We trust in him. Hebrews 13, verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Well, whose help do we really need in this life? God's. And he wants to help us, and he's always there to help us immediately when we ask. He goes to work right away whenever we go to him. We might not see the results instantly, but as soon as we go to him, God is working immediately on our behalf to help us. That's God. He's not a tired God. He doesn't go to sleep for a few days and forget about you. He's not busy doing other things in Iraq or anything like this. God goes to work on our behalf right away when we ask him for help, and we don't have to be afraid. Proverbs 28:1 again. You got it marked? All right. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That's what I would repeat to myself over and over and over again when I would walk. I used to walk to the train, take a train, and then walk to school and stuff like this. And I used to, every step, the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. I just etched it in my brain. I stayed my mind on it. And it helped me so much. The lion here, bold as a lion. This is the figure, the comparison. And it's a young lion. Okay? Look at Proverbs 30, verse 30. It says here, a lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away from any. The lion. No one stares a lion down and makes him look away. Nobody. The lion always wins the stare down. They're not afraid. No other animal hunts a lion. Okay? We're talking top of the food chain. Besides men, I know men go out and it's a whole other thing. Animals, okay? God set this figure for us. The righteous are bold as a lion because lions are not afraid of anything. They're not afraid. In the Bible, a lion represents strength and boldness, ferocity, which is the state or quality of being ferocious, and stealth, secret, moving, and cunning to hunt its prey. So lions walk around with boldness and confidence. I don't know if you've seen any of these National Geographic videos of the lions. They are not worried about being hunted. They're the ones that, when they're ready and they want to get up and go, they go get some food. They roar, and the sound alone of a lion's roar many times makes an animal just be seized with fear, and they just stop because they're like, oh, shh. And then the lion got him. I was watching a show about lions one time, and I'll never forget, they were measuring the pressure of the bite of different animals. And I was like, oh, this is interesting, I'll watch this. And I watched the whole thing, it was awesome. They took a device and they stuck raw meat around it, and they dangled it out of a truck, and they drove like they were fishing or something, and all kind of animals were coming out biting this thing. But the end result was that the bite, the strongest bite, was that of a lion. And it was between 700 and 800 pounds of pressure with one bite. The lion's not worried about some other animal. You see what I'm saying? The righteous are bold as a lion. And, you know, Jerry is a great example of this. When you think of Jerry, if he was an animal, the first picture that comes to my mind is a lion. Why? Because he looks like a lion? No, it's because he trusts God and he's bold because of it. He's not worried about things. He's not fearful about things. He trusts God and is confident in God and secure in God. So that's why when I think of Reverend Jerry Carr, I think of a lion. Anyone else? A couple of wells? Yeah. Now, the adversary is also compared to a lion in the Bible. 1 Peter 5:8. It says here, 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The adversary will roar and try to make us be seized with fear at times, to just make us just stop in our tracks. But if he roars at you, you roar back, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's the reality. We don't have to be afraid of him. Albert said it. The adversary and his cohorts, they're terrified of a believer who stands on God's word, because they've got God and Christ in them. They're shaking in their boots. And because they live in terror, they live as terrified beings, they want you to also be terrified. But God doesn't want it. The righteous are bold as a lion. Hebrews 11:33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Remember the records in a word. Daniel in the lion's den. They threw him in. But God just what? Shut the lion's mouth. Right? Yeah. And then there's 2 Timothy 4:17. Another verse about that. 2 Timothy 4:17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." The adversary roars like a lion in this world. But we are delivered to the adversary when we believe the promises of God. We don't have to be afraid of him. We do not. 1 John 4:4. "Year of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That's what we live by. We believe it wholeheartedly. And we're not afraid of the adversary. We're not afraid of junk in this life. That's like old man nature stuff, to be afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid of anything. It's not fun to be afraid. God in Christ in us, bigger than the adversary, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I think that is so cool. So cool. You know, there's records in the Word where Samson got the Spirit of the Lord and tore up a lion with his hands. You can read about it. Just like it was a kid, it says. He tore up a lion. And then, do you remember about David in the story of David and Goliath? What happened in that situation? It's too good. I got to go. 1 Samuel 17. Just a couple verses. 1 Samuel 17. You guys all right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. First Samuel 17:34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. David had experience with the Lord delivering him, didn't he? He had some history here. He had some built up believing. And has God ever done anything for you?
Yes.
Has he?
Yes.
Well, you build on that and expect him to do it again. And you're right there when you're confronted where you have the opportunity to be afraid and you remember what God did for you before and you expect him to do it again. And you're bold. You're fearless. You're confident because you trust in God. There's no condemnation any longer because Jesus Christ was condemned for us. This whole thing of self-guilt, it's so self-defeating. Why? It's such a waste of time and energy. It's like a sick little cycle that sometimes we spin in. And when I catch myself in it, I feel disgusting. And I just want to get out of it as fast as I can. And we have every right to do that really quickly. We don't have to, it doesn't have to be this process with yourself, you know, to get out of it. You just forget about it and move on. You're righteous, baby. You can go. You don't have to be afraid. Let's see what God's going to do. Walk right. You show up in situations. You show up, and God is right there with you. No fear in love, right? No. 1 John 3, 20 and 22. This is just essential to expect God to do great things for us in our life. 1 John 3, 20. It says here, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And I love this because you could be condemning yourself and you have every logical reason of why you should be. But all you have to do is just, well, God's greater than my heart. Do you accept that God is greater than your heart?
No.
Do you accept that? So then you just cut it. Done. I don't have to condemn myself. God's greater than my heart. I don't have to go down that road. It doesn't have to be logical. It doesn't have to be all of this stuff. It's done. God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have what?
Confidence.
Confidence. When we walk as righteous sons without condemnation, we are confident. We're confident toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What's pleasing in God's sight? Believing. It's not hard. It's real easy. But the benefits of it are great. We get to live a life of righteous boldness. You know, perfect love casts out fear. We're afraid? Okay, remember the word? You know God loves you, right? The perfect love without condition, love without condition. So we are loved that way, we accept it, and we can love others that way. And that's another great way that fear has to go. It has no place in that, no place at all. Albert read it, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," right? Yep. Spirit of fear, not from God. So don't put up with it. I don't care what the fear is. If you have fear of flowers or if you have fear of long words, don't put up with it at all. It's not of God. Power, love, and a sound mind is. I want to look at Isaiah 50, verse 7 here, and we'll wrap it up. This is another great verse that is a great mind picture. Isaiah 50, verse 7. Says here, "For the Lord God will help me." That's pretty cool. What a great confession. "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." What's a flint? It's a type of stone. It's the Flintstones. Flint is the kind of stone that the Indians would make their arrowheads out of. It's known for its extreme hardness. They would also make tools and weapons out of flint stone. It's super hard, this stone. So picture setting your face. Set your face like a flint. And I get this mind picture of the emblem for the Rolls Royce, that figure that's like this. 75 miles an hour down the road, and you set your face like a flint. Anything comes at you, it just goes bing and just bounces off. Has very little effect on you because you're not afraid. You know, if you're confident and not afraid and somebody goes boo to you, it's like, what? No effect. But if you're terrified and somebody goes boo, you could jump out of your skin, you know? We don't have to be afraid in this life. We could be as bold as a lion in this life, and a lion is a badass animal. And to set our face like a flint and just go. You don't have to analyze everything and think how it's going to come out, all this, because you trust in him. You just walk right into the promises of God. You don't stay back out of the promised land and not go in because you're afraid. You walk right into the promises of God. You walk right in as a believer. You confess that you're bold as a lion. Old man nature to be afraid anymore. No more. You walk in the new man nature. It's God in Christ in you. And you walk right into the promises of God. You're not afraid to receive all that God has made available. Our state is righteous right now. And we have every right, according to God, to be as bold as a lion. And that is some badass word right there. This blessed the crap out of me, and I hope it blessed you too. I love you, and I guess I'll pray. God, thanks so much for your word. Thanks so much for how great it is to be alive and to believe this stuff and to just accomplish so many great things in this life and to receive all the promises that you have for us, that we could just walk right into them because we're not afraid. And we're able to do everything you say we're able to do because we could just trust in you. Thanks, God, for this great word, and thank you for everyone here and how this word just helps and benefits all of our lives. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.